Hi, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you're listening to Rock the Vote Native Style.
Rock the Vote Native Style. But really, it's a new show, and I want to bring on Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 and Rise, and also the co-host of what we are rocking the treaties Native Style now.
Welcome to all our listeners out there, and thanks for having me as your co-host, Robert. It's been a tremendous learning experience and just a great way to get our messaging out. And you know, we worked so hard during this last election here, and I think we proved we're instrumental to winning elections here in the United States. We finally, you know, realized this election, though, that there's going to be a little bit more work to do than just showing up to vote. And, you know, the promising news is Biden won, and we all know that. And but the thing is, Biden, he prioritizes climate change by appointing John Kerry as a special envoy. And this is really big news because this position is actually a newly created position. And in this position, he's going to make a commitment to tackling the global crisis and offering a symbolic rebuke to President Donald Trump's lack of leadership on the issue. So as we've seen, you know, in the past, like with Apple, and in the minute Trump was sworn in, I think just in a matter of days, he was signing the executive order to push the Dakota Access Pipeline forward, and that was really disheartening. And then we came home to line three, and which is going to be what we're going to be talking about today, is that we knew with Trump being in office that it was going to be, you know, kind of a same situation as we see unfold. And then we found some hope in our governor and our lieutenant governor, and thinking, you know, there was going to be some type of meaningful conversation and what it takes to respect, you know, a native nation's decision not to continue with pipelines. And so I'm excited about this new appointment. And I think, you know, it's going to take people like me and you and everybody else to all these candidates and their feet to the fire. But I think Biden's on to a good start, you know. I think you would agree with that, Robert.
Well, we can only hope. You know, one of the things too, Nancy, I don't know if you saw in the news that a group of people, like-minded people, bought a whole bunch of land up by the beginning of the headwaters. Did you see that?
Right. And, you know, I didn't get a good chance to thoroughly read the article. And what it truly what it could bring us. I know it's a good start, but again, we have to be careful who we elect into office and who's getting these certain kind of jobs. But I think overall, that's kind of what gave me some inspiration to say, you know what, good things are happening, and where are we going to go from here? Well, yeah, that is exciting.
Yeah.
And the headwaters, and you know what's being threatened with line three? The headwaters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and so I think this is a conversation that Minnesota needs to start having, as we see, you know, Enbridge and their falsified, you know, advertisements. They have tribal approval. When you say tribe, that should mean all the people of the tribe, not five elected officials that can be bought out. You know, I'm thinking that when we work hard to keep showing up, like in all these spaces being created with this Line 3 movement, that we have to really show up and have this conversation and not just expect a handful of people, the same people, doing over and over, because this movement is bigger than us, Robert.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's disheartening that this is happening. It's been disheartening. It's been a campaign of misinformation. You know, and the sad thing is, when you see any kind of sporting event, or even, for instance, TPT, which had Winona LaDuke and the governor on a couple of weeks ago. I mean, who advertises for TPT? Who gives them money? Enbridge. And so there's this askewed kind of thing that, you know, it's giving jobs and it's doing all these things for Minnesota, and why don't you guys get over it? And really, that's not really what's happening. What's happening is we have all these people from out of state coming up there. Man camps are being built. You know, there's going to be 4,000 people up there that aren't from Minnesota, that aren't getting high paid jobs. And, you know, we're here to try to set the record straight and get some, well, you know, get the real news out there, but also how can we support our relatives that are up there? I know Tara Hauska has been camping up there. There's just many, many things happening up in the deep north there. And why don't, you know, if the pipeline's so safe, why don't you run it through Summit Avenue here in St. Paul?
Right. And, you know, like you brought up, you know, the pandemic, where how does a pipeline go through in the middle of a pandemic, especially in rural counties where they have like four ICU units, or just the lack of the funding to keep those needs met? And when we got influx of 4,200 out-of-state pipeliners, it's like, what is that going to bring? And most of these people that hold these jobs, they think like Republicans, and probably most of them can identify as Republicans. So we're going to see these employees of Enbridge refusing to wear masks, and they're going to be, you know, in our restaurants and our gas stations. And so that brings fear. And what I do know, and I've been sharing on my Facebook, is Aiken County, their healthcare professionals, along with concerned citizens of Aiken County, have started a petition. They want Governor Walz to file a stay of construction in the middle of this pandemic, because they fear it's their community. And, you know, we're all going to be affected by it because we see how COVID spreads. But, geez, I couldn't, you know, think what these poor people are going through right now with all these pipelines coming in. And like you said before, Enbridge wants to pretend they're the good neighbor. They do that, Robert, by buying park benches, the ATV trails in the woods, you know, all these little things they give to the community. We're going to upgrade your fire equipment because we're a good neighbor, and we're going to invest in your community. And, you know, a snake in the grass wouldn't poison. I mean, these people are a snake in the grass. And if they were good neighbors, they wouldn't threaten our clean water. And a good neighbor would never do that, Robert.
Exactly. Hey, so, you know, there's somebody online here that we want to talk to, and his name's Andy Pearson from MN350, who's been fighting this battle a lot longer than me and has a lot of expertise. Why don't we get Andy on the air right now and say, welcome, Andy.
Hey, thank you. Welcome so much for having me here.
So glad you're here, Andy. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Pleasure to be with you.
Andy, maybe what you can do for our audience, because you're old school and been around for a long time with this plight and this fight, maybe you can give a little background information on really what Line 3 really is and the history of it.
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to. Thank you. So, you know, we know that Line 3, of course, is an oil pipeline. And specifically, it's what we call tar sands oil, which is some of the dirtiest oil out there. This is the stuff up in Canada that nobody else really wants because it's so expensive to extract and it's hard to refine. So you got this, some of the world's dirtiest oil being extracted up in Alberta where it's landlocked. They don't have a way to really get it to places where oil is used, and so pipelines are what they look for. And there's already a pipeline called Line 3 that is pretty old. It's not in great shape, and Enbridge wants to build a new pipeline with about twice the capacity, through largely a different route in Minnesota, which would cross the Mississippi headwaters twice and go through the 1855 treaty territory for a lot of its run. And they want to do that even though the state of Minnesota, through our Department of Commerce and their expert analysis, has said that this isn't a pipeline that they need at all. And the reason is because, one, there's already a lot of ways for this oil to get here. And two, you know, as we all know, and I know, you know, you all talk about the world is moving beyond oil, you know, and we're doing it quicker than I think even 10 years ago anybody predicted, right? If you see how electric vehicles are really taking off and how, you know, efficiency is letting us, you know, make huge reductions in our consumption. And if you look at the next 10 years, it's hard to imagine that that pace won't continue to accelerate. So this is an oil that we need. Of course, this pipeline hasn't just been opposed by the Minnesota Department of Commerce. It's also been opposed by a huge coalition of groups, grassroots groups. It's been opposed by multiple tribal nations, three of whom are in court right now, working to get this pipeline's permits overturned. And it's broadly unpopular with Minnesotans. You know, the biggest comment period against this project found that 94% of the public comments were in opposition to the pipeline. So this is not a good project. That's the bottom line. Maybe I'll stop there for now.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good way to stop. Why don't we segue to a commercial here? But we're really excited to have Andy Pearson on with us, Nancy. And this is kind of the new format of Rock the Vote Native Style. It's now Rock the Treaties, and we'll talk about treaty land maybe a little later too, and then get more in depth about what we can do and what we can do to support the people that are camping out there, support MN350 that's in the front line of this too, and support Nancy's work, and whether that's a encouragement financially or whatever. But, you know, why don't we take a short break, and you're listening to Rock the Treaties Native Style. We'll be right back on AM950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Nation. We are Alusa Nation.
And welcome back to Rock the Vote, Rock the Treaties Native Style. I did it again there, Nancy. Rock the Treaties Native Style here on the Progressive Voice of AM 950. We're really jazzed to be still on the air here, dealing with the native issues, which are human issues. And today we're talking about Stop Line 3, Enbridge's Line 3. And we have a special guest, Andy Pearson, on the line. I just want to give a quick shout out to everybody, too, that, hey, we have Pilots Progressive Party tomorrow at 5. That's Wendy and I being progressive. And then we have Native Roots Radio on Saturdays, 1 to 3, and then we have the Sunday Symposium. That's kind of a national show on Sundays here on AM 950 at 6 p.m. commercial free. And so us natives are doing it, Nancy.
Right. And, you know, it's just a good time to be native. Well, every day is a good day to be native. But, you know, you think about Line 3 and in the world of politics, it's like a thought that we have to always hang on to, because when we get out and vote, we must be informed, you know, of the candidate's platform and the things that they're going to stand for and the things that they're going to say, no, that's not good for us, and I'm going to oppose that. Because, you know, going back to Walt and Mitch Flanagan, you know, my belief is still with our sister from White Earth, Mitch Flanagan, that, you know, we know she opposes Line 3, and it's the governor I'm having a problem with, you know, especially to say he's an ally of our people. And Robert, you can't just call yourself an ally. You have to earn that, you know, and it's a matter of trust and respect. And I think the decision to push Line 3 in the middle of, especially during the middle of a pandemic, is really unethical, and it just doesn't seem right for our people to be put under this kind of pressure of a pandemic, and we lack funding at the Indian Health Service, and right now all the hospitals are already overwhelmed. And so being Native, it seems like we're always the forgotten people, and it's like, at what point is Walz going to really put some meaning to that Executive Order 1924? I mean, to have three tribes in this appeal on Line 3, the work is being pushed without these tribes and all those other coalitions not being heard. And we want to respect Walz, but it's like at the same time, you have to listen. I mean, this is one of the reasons why he was, you know, probably given a lot of votes in Indian country, not only because he had our sister as his running mate, you know, Peggy Flanagan from White Earth, but we felt that with her being there, that he would listen to some sense and he'd really understand who we were and learn more about us and say, you know what, I stand with one of your relatives here and she's my co-governor, but it feels like he's not listening, and it you know, I just wish he'd give some respect to the people and listen to the science, because if he's listening to the science, we wouldn't be in this position right now, and we wouldn't be pushing a pandemic forward, I mean, a pipeline during a pandemic, you know, because isn't science telling us in the medical world that we're in a crisis?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, one of the strange things, too, is that, I don't want to say strange, but one of the things that really echoes with me is this is dangerous with all those people up there. I mean, this is super scary and dangerous. We're down here in the Twin Cities are like canceling Thanksgiving. We're not having our kids over because this is so serious. And why don't you give Andy a quick question or a quick shout out too, Nance?
Yeah, you know, I want to give a big chimiquich to Andy. He is our non-native ally, not just my coworker, but Andy, he's really courageous and very intelligent. And that's what one of the many skill sets he brings to the table, that legally he can walk his way through this line three and, you know, relate that information back to us. And so I really appreciate Andy's efforts in these last years. I've worked with him and beyond, you know, he's been in this line three fight for a long time. And, you know, I don't know where we would be without people like Andy. And he's the expert on line three. And I think Andy, you know, gave a good update earlier, and we had one more permit that went out yesterday. And Andy, you want to tell him a little bit more about what was approved yesterday and the stormwater permits that still need to be had?
Yeah, definitely. And also, Nancy, thank you so much. I feel like just first off, you know, you mentioned the executive order 1924, which is something I know I've learned a lot about from you and all of your work on it. But just to be super clear, that the decision that our state agencies made to approve these, or this first round of permits a couple of weeks ago, they didn't do that consultation, you know, and they actually, the decision that they put out, they basically adopted an earlier decision by a different agency that says, we don't think treaty rights are relevant to the discussion, so we're not going to include that. It's like saying treaty rights are cut out of this conversation. It's basically what it is. And so this decision by the MPCA definitely cut treaty rights out of the conversation. And honestly, it was a pretty disgusting thing to see, just to be blunt about it. What we saw, you know, just over yesterday here, was we saw the federal decision, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, so the Trump administration in this case, we saw them do what we knew they would do following the state decision, and basically issue the permit that the state told them that they could. So it's a very interesting alignment we have here, because we have Governor Walz, you know, lined up along with the Trump administration on wanting, you know, this permit. And of course, we had that fascinating statement from Lieutenant Governor Flanagan that she actually disagreed pretty hard with, you know, any decision to go forward with a pipeline, and that she's still in opposition to it. And of course, we also had the majority of the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency's own Environmental Justice Advisory Group. These are community leaders who are inside the agency to basically be it's gut check, or it's like moral compass on whether what they're doing is aligned with principles of environmental justice. And they didn't just disagree, but they disagreed so strongly that they resigned and the board collapsed, is the word the Star Tribune used for it. I think that's a pretty good indication that what you're doing isn't very well aligned with the principles of environmental justice, especially since
you know, it actually was aligned with what the Trump administration wanted here. Trump, when he was in town, said, we're going to build Line 3, we're going to rush it through, and that referred to these permits. So we saw Governor Walz following that leadership instead of the leadership of progressives in Minnesota and people who care about environmental justice, and that was pretty unfortunate.
Right, and you know, that's what's been disheartening in this last week. It's kind of like a kind of heavy on the heart, and you know, when you mentioned how the PCA, you know, basically disregarded the treaties, and if I remember right, it was also written in the Enbridge, in their environmental impact study, that treaties, it didn't matter because past administrations had rejected treaties and ignored them as well. And I remember speaking out to that in Bemidji at a hearing a couple years ago, and it, you know, just speaking about it, I thought, well, you know what, if I say something, maybe somebody will listen. And it's just, that's what's really hard right now, because we're constantly told, just get over it, and we're supposed to carry on with Thanksgiving like we have this great relationship, and this government just seems to screw us over and over, and it's like, where is it going to end, and when are we going to be consulted in a meaningful way? You know, I mean, when you look at Leech Lake and Fond du Lac and the lack of free prior informed consent, it's like a person like myself, we don't even have a say in the matter. And, you know, that's what's really breaking my heart, is like many of our Native relatives voted well. And if we probably even looked it up, I bet you we had an instrumental part in that as well. And it's just disheartening that our people keep showing up thinking good things are going to finally take place, and they don't. And well, what's good about this last election, I think things are going to start to change, but you know, I actually had a small conversation with Peggy Flanagan today, and we were excited about, you know, Heather Keeler and Audrey and these local races and the Minnesota House races and the Senate races, that our relatives are starting to show up, and we're going to build power. And she had a great idea that we start having town hall meeting,
mm-hmm.
and figure out how we can move forward as a collective and keep building on that power. And so I'm feeling good about that. And I think, you know, just being able to engage with Peggy more frequently now is something that's going to be critical to the people being heard, and not just 5 elected tribal officials, because more often than not, we're ignored at that level as well. And we call that lateral oppression. And it doesn't make the resistance any easier for us Native warriors. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hey, why don't we take a quick break? Andy, can you hold on for another walkthrough here?
I'll be here.
Excellent. So, hey, you're listening to Rock the Vote Native Style, and I'm here with Nancy Bolio, activist and MN3 worker, and also Andy Pearson of MN350. We'll be right back after this short break.
Alusa Nation.
We are Alusa Nation. Hey, welcome back to Rock the Treaties Native Style here on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. We're talking today with Andy Pearson of MN350, along with my co-host, Nancy Bolio of Bemidji 350 and Rise, and just all-around groovy lady. We are talking about Line 3 and what's happening up there, and trying to get the truth out to everybody so they're educated when they talk to people why Line 3 is bad. And, you know, so this is really good educational show for me, and hopefully for you people that are listening. So, Nancy, welcome back. Having Andy on for me brings up really great memories, because he was on Native Roots Radio the first few years pretty often, and saved us many times when people were going, I'm not coming on your radio show, I don't know who you are. And Andy would come on our show and really have great content. And thank you so much, Andy, for being on. And Nancy, that Andy's just been teaching me about resistance as long as I've known him. We went to Standing Rock together the first time that I went there. It was an amazing trip. Just on and on, Nancy.
Right. And you know, it's Standing Rock that actually kind of brought me and Andy together. It was me and Line 3 Minnesota and just out there doing my own thing, and Andy reached out to me, and fortunately this is how I got hooked up with MN350, and I've grown in so many different ways. Never thought I was going to resist this hard and personally grow. I wake up every day with a purpose in life. It's prior to this, you know, I had a job. I was a bartender, I was a manager, I was all kinds of different things, but I had to clock in and do work that was always the same, and there was no real purpose to it other than making money and paying the bills. But this job, there's a sense of purpose here, and I feel good about what I do, and at times, like especially in this last week with the decisions being made, you know, it's a little overwhelming, but it doesn't mean you quit. It means you just get stronger and you just keep showing up and keep speaking out, and that's why it's always great to have someone around like Andy that can, you know, stay tuned with all the legal processes and all the permits, and then share that information far and wide, because not everybody has the time or the capacity or even the interest to attend these kind of things that Andy shows up for. So again, Standing Rock brought a lot of us together here in Minnesota, and we are not Standing Rock, but nothing different, Robert. It's still the same fight for clean water, just in a different part of the world. And we still have to keep showing up regardless if it's Standing Rock or not, because this water is precious to all of us. And I couldn't be more lucky to have people like you and just keep growing our movement beyond today even.
Well, and I think that that's just so right on. And just to add on, I feel like one of the things that you're both getting at is something that I've experienced so much too, which is that, you know, there are so many huge problems in the world, and they just feel so darn overwhelming until you've managed to connect with people who are also working on them, and then it gets a little less overwhelming because maybe there's something you can do. And I feel like I've been thinking about that a lot as we're, you know, moving closer towards potential construction on Line 3 here, although I want to say a couple of things about that, which is just that there are major lawsuits pending that might still stop this project. A good chance that they will, actually. And there's going to be a ton of groups working to get a stay against construction, which would be a legal order so that construction actually doesn't get to continue in the way that Enbridge wants. But regardless, you know, we're in a new phase of the fight. We're heading into some different times, and I think that that's not where any of us wanted to be. But I think to move, you know, from the just kind of being scared about it to the feeling like there's maybe something we can do, you know, really is finding that community to dig into the work with, to be in solidarity with, to show up for. And that we're always stronger in community, and none of us could resist a project like this on our own. But together, you know, we've got a lot better shot at it.
Right. And you know what that brings to mind is that famous quote I like to use, Robert: when we stand together, we don't stand alone. Hey. And that what I faced, you know, when I went to Standing Rock was I rode along with a bag of fear, I swear. And, you know, when I got called to the front line that very first time for me, I still had that fear sitting next to me. But once I got there, Robert, and got out and joined the people, there was no more fear, and I had a fist in the air, and I felt as powerful as those bison headed in our direction. And it was like, there was no more sense of fear, Robert. And I didn't feel scared anymore. And I'm not scared. I'm kind of fearless now. And I hate to say that because people tell me I put myself in dangerous position like that, but you know, I think our ancestors would be proud if more people like myself showed up or just showed up and said, I don't know how to show up, what can I do? You can help behind the scenes, you can be on a front line, there's so many different things you can do, and just showing up in any capacity that you can give is very helpful. And you know, just be a part of one of our open houses at Minnesota 350, join the pipeline resistance team meetings, and you can find ways to support the work we do. And you know what? Like Andy said, it's a sense of community. We are family. We are.
You know, it's funny. 4 years ago popped up on my phone that we were crossing a bridge over the river to
to Turtle Hill and Standing Rock at the Oshete camp. And I remember that Wendy and I were like going by there and wanted to watch and be close to it, but we were kind of afraid, and we had our dogs with us, and so we didn't want to get arrested. And what ended up happening is it gravitated, and the energy gravitated, and we went across the bridge with our arms and fists pumped up. And it was a crazy day. It was during Thanksgiving weekend 4 years ago, and just the power of the people. And again, I can't say enough about you and Andy. And Andy, you've been in this for so long, and I appreciate you're still in the fight, because we need the experience and the know-how. One of the things I want to ask you real quick, Andy, is it's a little different than Standing Rock in a sense that they are digging, or they're putting pipes right now in a couple of other places, right?
Yeah, and it's one of the tricky bits about all this is that it isn't likely to be, just one major point. Like in Standing Rock, of course, you know, we were all there. Like you said, one of the things that made that possible is that the place where they were going to do construction and so the place where the resistance was taking place was so concentrated kind of into one location. And for Line 3, you know, Enbridge plans to build at about 5 different construction sites simultaneously. And, of course, also we're in a pandemic, like Nancy, you know, was saying earlier, which has been really weighing on me. Of course, that's one of the absolute most difficult things about the moment that we're in, is that we've got this pandemic on top of everything else. So, you know, I will say that, I'm not the person with all the knowledge about how frontline resistance might go down. I do know that if it does get to that point, and we all hope that it doesn't, construction, you know, will be more distributed than what we saw at Standing Rock. And I, of course, with a pandemic, you know, I wouldn't expect to see the kind of concentration of folks right now that we saw at Standing Rock. That doesn't mean resistance can't happen. That just means that it looks different. And I also know, you know, for folks listening who might be thinking, well, you know, I'd like to help stop the pipeline, but I can't go to the front lines. You know, what can I do? There's a whole lot of other things that are also really needed. I just want to quickly say that, you know, there are actions in the Twin Cities. There are more. There's also supply drives to help get supplies up to folks on the front lines, like the GNU Collective, which is really holding it down and doing a huge amount of work. You can find them on Facebook at GNU Collective. And then for getting plugged into some of the ways to help, you know, around the state, wherever you are, MN350 has a pledge of resistance against Line 3, which is a really good way to find out about opportunities, including, you know, gear drives, food drives, and events to show up at. They're also asking for folks to help scout the pipeline right now to get at exactly this thing, you know, Robert, that you bring up about how construction might be different. Obviously, groups can make the best decisions if we actually know what's going on with the project. And if we see construction happening and Enbridge isn't allowed to do it, that's the kind of thing that could lead to a judge shutting it down as well, which would be great. So that project is Watch the Line. The way to get plugged into all of that is probably to sign the Pledge of Resistance Against Line 3 that we work with at MN350, because we'll send a lot of that information to you. And that's just mn350.org/pledge. So super easy to get on that, mn350.org/pledge, and we'll make sure that folks are connected, you know, to all those opportunities, because it really is, there's space for everybody. We need everybody, whether you're really resonating with what we're talking about on this call, you know, about people's experiences at Standing Rock, or whether you have other ways that you can show up for the movement, you know, everything's needed and helpful, and let's get plugged in.
Yeah, right. Andy, one of the things I want to ask Nancy before we let you go, and also ask you, what I've heard, we had a symposium on Sunday, and we had Winona LaDuke on and Tara Hauska, and basically, just a Reader's Digest condensed version of what they said, is that construction's already started. they have the pipes up there. People are moving in by the hundreds. And so that's disheartening. And it's also frightening because of what that brings. Nancy, have you seen what they're saying right now is that it is happening. Have you seen that up there?
Well, not in our local area, but I do have friends in those areas. And yes, there's an influx and the bars are already getting busy. And well, things probably change with the new restrictions on COVID-19. But you know what? It's still not going to stop these pipeliners from mingling amongst themselves and then spreading that COVID further and then bringing it out into the communities. And it also actually puts our relatives in danger. We have, you know, men that are going to have, well, issues when they're drinking and using their drugs, and that's what they do. And it puts our relatives at risk for being missing or being murdered. And, you know, they might say, well, it's not on the reservation. Well, our people live almost in every town, Minnesota. We're everywhere here. And I just think, you know, overall, it's a big threat to our communities, and the governor really didn't consider the safety and well-being of the indigenous population here in Minnesota, as we've seen in the last 500 years. Our safety and well-being is never considered, and that's what really breaks my heart in this last week. It's like I thought, you know, especially during these times that we've seen so much change taking place, that we would see some change here in Minnesota. And yet we're still having to resist like no other and really, really take these guys for what it's worth in the court. And, you know, it's like Andy said, there's a good potential for this pipeline to be stopped. But why do we push it in the middle of a pandemic? Why does the governor say, you know what, let's be fair to everybody and let's hear all the appeals before this project can even be considered?
Exactly. And Andy, before we let you go and go to the commercial, I would like you to give, again, the website and what people can do to support this movement against or Stop Line 3, against this pipeline that we don't need, that isn't a replacement. You know, they're not digging up the old one. They may even use the old one at the same time. And also a great thing that you both have said is that, you know, we are going away from this kind of energy. Why are we having a foreign company come in here and mess up our environment? Andy, give us your truth.
Yeah, this is just, it's what exactly what you said. It is not needed. It is not safe. It is broadly opposed, and it's not going to be built. That's the truth of it. It is not going to be built. Because even if this governor doesn't want to stop it, the people are going to make sure that we stop it. Places to follow, places to get plugged in, you know, follow the GNIW Collective, that's GINIW on Facebook. Of course, that's Tara, and they are just terrific and holding it down, you know, on the front lines there. Go to mn350.org/pledge. That's our Line 3 Pledge of Resistance, so you can get looped into ongoing opportunities there, like how to contribute to the supply drive, how to do the scouting that's needed for folks, and lots of other, you know, events and opportunities there. And then, you know, spread the word to people who you know, because like we talked about earlier, everything is easier in community. We know that the resistance to this pipeline is going to need to happen in community. And that's harder sometimes, especially with COVID, but it's no less important. So for the people who are in your bubble or the people who are in your community who you're on Zoom with, talk about this pipeline. Let's do some education. Let's make sure that that there's a lot of folks who are informed, who are ready, who know the stakes, so that we can stop this.
Wow, well said. Peeny Geegee for all you do, Andy Pearson of MN350, and thank you so much for stopping by with us at Rock the Treaties Native Style here on AM 950. We're going to be right back, Nancy and I, to wrap it up.
Information Guide is brought to you by Ramsey County and Ramsey County Investment and Support Efforts.
We are Alusa Nation.
Welcome back to Rock the Treaties Native Style here on the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. I'm here with Nancy Beaulieu, and exciting way to start this week out of Thanksgiving, talking about these things. Nancy, one of the things that I don't know, I think Andy brought this up, but that our governor, Walz, who we helped elect, is taking the mandate of the president right now of the Orange Guy 45. And that was a disturbing thing to think of, but he's absolutely right.
You know, yep, that is the truth. And, you know, prior to his being elected, I was a delegate to the GFL party. And the reason why we show up is because we need to be at the table, Robert. And that's one way to show up is to be a delegate in that party. And I had the opportunity to talk with Walz, meet him at the debate, you know, the forums and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and conventions. And I wanted to believe him, but I knew, you know, the conversation that him and I had at BSU, he was actually in Bemidji in a forum. And I went, and he was telling us on stage, no line three. And my delegate friend had a Walz sticker on her purse already because he was no line three. And it was crazy because he actually swayed his way into supporting line three. And during his debate, you could just hear her peel off that sticker, no Walz for me. And he came down the stage after the debate, and he was talking to our district rep, Leroy Fairbanks, and myself. And I asked him, I said, I thought you meant no line three. And, you know, what it reminds me of when it comes to Walz is, I don't know if you ever heard, one who speaks with a forked tongue, you know, environment out one side of his mouth and a pipeline out the other. And it's like, you know, I knew there was an insecurity there, and I tried to voice it. And I was a fan of Aaron Murphy myself, but we ended up with Walz. And because sometimes we have to vote for people we don't truly support, we have to vote for what we think is best. And unfortunately, we're finding out now that's not always, you know, it does work against us, and we're not truly represented. And it really, you know, like I said, I'm really, really disheartened and frustrated with Walz right now. And that's one thing we could do. We could, you know, make a call to his office and tell him to have a stay on construction due to the pandemic. He should at least, first and foremost, put the health and well-being of his citizens here in Minnesota, you know, all citizens, not just, you know, certain people, but we all deserve a chance at life. But yeah, you can call him at 651-201-3400 and say, well, this is a bad decision, not during a pandemic. We can't do that. And, you know, in another way, people can show support. Andy mentioned it, watch the line. So that is basically a grassroots effort to monitor and report the, on the construction and damage from Enbridge's Line 3 tar sands pipeline. And you can find them at watchthelinemn.org. Watchthelinemn.org. And there's areas, different areas of the pipeline that you can help monitor. So, you know, find one closer to you and take a little field trip and help out. That's one way you can help out. And, you know, you're not going to be in danger out there. You're going to be in groups, and you're going to have, you know, filming and phones with you and whatnot. And we know how to handle ourselves in a good way. And we've learned to stand in peace and prayer. And we don't like to escalate. That's not our intentions, to escalate and get ourselves into trouble. But we'll save that for later if need be, Robert. You know, we might have to throw our bodies down on the line. But, I got my long johns ready for that too. So
I got my two drones ready to fire it up, and then plus my studio is very mobile too. Just give me some internet, and I'm on the way.
Right, right, and you know that's, you bring a lot of good stuff to the table, Robert, when you show up, and that's what we appreciate about you. And there's one more thing I wanted to share before we end the show today is that there is an online event, and it's called Prepare to Care, Stop Line 3. And it starts at 6:30, and you can find it. I think it's on the MN350 page. If not, I'm going to put it there. And I just try to find a way to share it to you, but it's not letting me tag you, Robert. But there's great guest speakers on there tonight. But this workshop will feature updates from the climate justice leaders working in the frontline communities across northern Minnesota, and they're going to discuss the impacts that the proposed Line 3 pipeline could have on our water, land, and communities, and they're going to explore effective ways that people can join or support the Line 3 resistance movement. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of good stuff tonight and great speakers.
All right, let's do it. Hey, you're listening to Rock the Treaties Native Style here on AM 950. Thanks you, Nancy Bolio and Andy Pearson.